Thank you for staying tuned to Health Cetera Radio on WBAI-FM. This is pediatric nurse practitioner Christy Westfall reporting from the 2016 American Association of Nurse Practitioners Health Policy Conference here in D.C. We just heard from Lee Moss regarding political activation and nurse practitioners. I now welcome family nurse practitioner Sarah Marlowe to help us continue the conversation. So, Sarah, what exactly is a nurse practitioner?
Well, a nurse practitioner is a registered nurse with advanced training, either a master's degree or a doctoral degree, and they are classified as an advanced practice nurse. So they are also called clinicians, and they can practice in primary care, acute care settings, various settings. And what they're trained to do is diagnose, treat, prescribe, and manage people from all ages, various populations, various settings.
What made you decide that you wanted to be a nurse practitioner?
Well, we only have a couple of minutes, and this is a really long story, so...
We like stories!
I don't come from a family that has nurses in the family or medicine or any of that. I'm actually a first gen, so I'm the first person who went to college in my family, and... In my undergrad at UC Davis, I was very interested in numerous topics, including medicine. I was interested in pre-med, but they didn't have pre-med. I was interested in law and all kinds of stuff. So anyway, I ended up getting a degree in a field that was really broad, and I could use it for business school or medical school or all of these different things. And then by the time that I graduated from UC Davis in my undergrad, I decided, like, okay, I'm just going to take some time and really think about what I want to do for the rest of my life, like what I want to do. So I started doing traveling. I started volunteering. I started researching roles, and my first employer right after graduation said, Sarah, you're wasting time here. You should be in medical school. And she really made me feel like, wow, you know, she just made me feel like, yeah, I am passionate about healthcare, but I don't think that the physician role is right for me because of various reasons of research that I've been doing, experiences. I was just like, you know, I think there's got to be an alternative to a physician out there. So I started going online. I started digging real deep. And this is how I got started in it all during this process of like 2 years after undergrad. I just discovered the entire world of nursing. And I'm just telling you, like, my mind was blown. Like, I had no idea that there were advanced practice nurses. There were nurse researchers. There are nurse managers, there are nurse CEOs. I had no idea any of this even existed. And I felt kind of like betrayed because I felt like no one once during my undergraduate education at a public institution like UC Davis had ever told me about nursing or any of that. I mean, no one. I went to career days. I was involved in groups. I did volunteering. And no one said, you know, oh, have you ever considered advanced practice nursing or nursing? Not once. And so that was kind of like, wow, people need to know about this. This is incredible. This is amazing. And the more I started reading and researching on this, I was like, wow, this is like really cost effective. Wow, this really makes a lot of sense. This is the future of primary care. If we have hardly any MDs graduating from medical school going into primary care, who's going to fill in this gap? You look to the left and you got like, well, we've got all these nurses graduating and they're all going into primary care. And I'm like, this makes perfect sense. And so that's kind of how I got started. So then I was like, all right, I'm going to start volunteering and get some hands-on experience. I started volunteering. I got a job in an Air Force base, and I worked in family practice, subspecialty, and pediatrics at the CNA to just get some hands-on experience while I was doing my prerequisites. And then I applied to a direct entry nurse practitioner program, started volunteering, and you immediately got involved with CAMP, which is California Association for Nurse Practitioners. And then, yeah, so that's kind of how it kind of came to be. Like, that's how, and then that's also how I got, you know, involved into the whole policy process was from the very beginning, because the second I found out about nurse practitioners was the second I got involved with the policy, because I was like, people need to know about this. This is a big deal. This could save America, you know, with money. This could save us with time, access. This could save lives because we have so many people that don't have access to care. But we could increase this access, and we have shown to increase access with nurse practitioners. So it kind of was like this perfect combo.
Yeah, so speaking of access, one of these hot topics in healthcare that we've currently been circling around a lot at the conference this week has been the nurse practitioner state practice environment. So what is that? Do you mind just explaining what some of the differences are in the way that nurse practitioners practice in states with full practice, reduced practice, and restricted practice?
Yeah, well, full practice authority basically means that you are allowing a nurse practitioner to practice to the full extent of their education, meaning you can let them do what they're trained to do. A reduced practice state would be you have some restrictions on that. Say I went to nurse practitioner school and I've been trained to prescribe certain medications, and I know how to do this, but in my state, you know, I'm not allowed to do this. So that would be a reduction on my practice skills, which are unnecessary. They create barriers, they increase costs, they increase wait times, and they reduce access. And then when you have a restricted practice, that's kind of that to even more, where you're even restricting even more and more and more. And so there's various restrictions on nurse practitioners depending on which state you're at, but they vary from completely arbitrary, random restrictions on nurse practitioners that are not based on any evidence at all. They're not supported by evidence. And they can vary from something very random to ordering diabetic shoes to, you know, something like ordering a narcotic. It just varies by state. But nonetheless, they all reduce access to necessary health care.
So we just heard that Florida might be a state that's just granted additional controlled substance prescriptions to the nurse practitioner ability to practice, which is amazing. So you and I share something in common. We're both California nurse practitioners. So do you mind telling us just a little bit about the state of nurse practitioner practice in the state of California?
Sure. Well, California is a really big state. It's a really populous state. And it's very difficult to get things to change in California. So I would say that the legislative process as far as getting our bills to move is very difficult. It takes a lot of time, a lot of work. I am with CANP. I am the co-chair of the Health Policy and Practice Committee, and we have been working, all of us, I mean, not just the practice committee, but everyone at CANP and all of the volunteers involved, and have been working tirelessly on numerous bills, but specifically our full practice authority bill, which is called SB 323, and that is still alive and it's not dead. We are working on it every day.
Yes, we lobbied together for it last year. We're lobbying again for it this year.
Every day. So just because you haven't heard of a bill or you haven't heard of any activity or movement on a bill doesn't mean it's not alive, and it most definitely doesn't mean people are not working very, very hard on it, because there's a lot of stuff, and I know a lot of people want change on a lot of different things, and trust me, people know it, and we're working on it, but the process just takes time.
So earlier in the program, Lee Moss shared the story of how he became politically activated. You mentioned earlier in your story that just politics and nurse practitioners just go hand in hand. Do you remember that first moment that you just felt the spark of inspiration to participate in upstream advocacy efforts in healthcare policy?
Gosh, yeah. I had a couple of big moments. Like earlier on was when I started, I think it was when I first started finding out about the role of nurse practitioners, and all these studies were like nurse practitioner outcomes equal and sometimes better than physicians, and I kept reading study after study, and I got really like invigorated by this. So I ended up writing my own lobbying piece when I was in my nurse practitioner program. It was a synthesis on how we could get full practice authority and barriers that we face and things that we could do to change that. And then just kind of had this momentum building, and then I'm like, I started this Twitter account, and this Twitter account actually was inspired by a scholarship that I got from the a thing called Generation Progress, which is a part of Center for American Progress in Washington, D.C. I got a little scholarship to go there, and I was trained in media and how you could do advocacy via media. So they talked about grassroots lobbying, social media, Twitter, Facebook, Tumblr, you know, like all of it. So I got a scholarship to learn how to do that. I was in the journalism track, and I was, like, super motivated. I mean, they really made me feel like, you can do this. Your voice counts. Go out there and just tell people. So that's what I did. So I was like, yeah, I'm going to do this. So I went on Twitter. I never had used Twitter before. And I was like, all right. And I, you know, no friends on Twitter, nothing. Like, I just started, like, into this deep abyss of, you know, just words, you know, piling words. And so I just went on there. I'm like, I just started reporting studies. I'm like, all right, this means something to me. I think this should mean a lot to lots of other people, too. So I go online. I create this account. Miss And so Miss F&P is this really, you know, short name, easy to remember. So I'm like, okay, this will be easy to remember. Let's just do that. So then I started off with some scientific studies. I start digging them up. I start placing them and doing the headline. And then people started noticing, oh, hey, yeah, this is true. And so people start retweeting. And it got momentum really, really quick. I would say when I first started tweeting and getting involved with that, I was getting up towards like 50 followers a day, maybe more. And then the more time you put into it, the more activity you have as well. And about a year ago, there was one particular moment or month where I had reached over a million individual captures in a very short time frame. Within about 3 months, I had a million. And I was like, whoa, this is – a lot of people are seeing this. And so each time someone's seeing this, you know, Twitter has this, like, really cool analytics that you can see now. And so so basically now you can actually see how many people are seeing. And just from the past couple years of doing this, I could see how many millions of people have just seen these tweets and, you know, like, getting the attention of lawmakers, getting the attention of large organizations. And it's really helped me connect with people that are people that we should be working with and really need to know about nurse practitioners and how we are here to help increase access to care. And that's the whole big deal for me about getting on Twitter is I want people to know what nurse practitioners are for various reasons, but the main reason I want people to know why we're here is because we can increase access to care, and we really, really need that.
So, Sarah, if our listeners do want to follow you, tell us your Twitter account.
Okay. Well, my Twitter handle is Miss, M-I-S-S-F-N-P, the letters F-N-P, standing for Family Nurse Practitioner. So it's Sarah Marlowe at Miss F-N-P. I'm most active on my Twitter account. I have other accounts as well, like it's Instagram and all that stuff, but I'm not quite as active. And then I have a website, which I still have not put up yet, but yes, it's Miss F-N-P.
Well, Sarah, it's truly been an inspiration just hearing your story and hearing you talk about how your role as a family nurse practitioner and as an advocate for nurses and nurse practitioners in general has just sprouted and gained such a following. Of the many talented and politically activated attendees at the American Association of Nurse Practitioners Health Policy Conference, I just feel so gifted that I've gotten to chat with both you and Lee. I'm proud to be included among their ranks as a nurse practitioner and ecstatic to see nurses to continue to engage in conversations to help transform healthcare.